Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan, and I have John and Mikey joining me to discuss a pretty devastating loss to the Maryland Terrapins. So I guess I'll start by thanking anyone who is currently listening to this episode, because it's not easy to continue to come back and listen to more about a team that's, you know, lost three straight here, but we appreciate you for sticking it out with us. You know, John and I were at the game. Mikey, I know you were watching from your TV, but, you know, our car ride home, John, pretty sad 2.5 hour drive.
That was just pure depression. We were just like, Danny's a little bit more reserved than me, but there was just, I was just like, we'd be, you know, somewhere along 57. I'm just like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, how does that happen? How do we lose that?
I think John said, I can't believe it. I'm not even kidding. 50 plus times on the way home, just at random points on the trip.
I think next time, hopefully we don't have a loss like that again this season, but next time we need to do a pod right after the game.
Yeah,
just to hear some of John's reactions.
He couldn't fathom too many thoughts, because it was just, I can't believe it. I don't know how we lost in regulation.
Yeah, there was a lot of just pure emotion. There was not a whole lot of detailed, thought out words coming out of my mouth. It was just pure emotion and sadness and pain. And, you know, we're driving back and it's past midnight because for whatever reason, they decided to schedule a game at 8 o'clock on a Friday night. And that was, I was getting a hot dog at halftime at 10 at night. I'm just like, I'm still fairly young, but that's just, you know, throwing off all. And then just to knock the payoff, like Danny and I, we weren't like, you know, saying we're going to win the game. But, you know, there the little bits of of potential creep into your brain of like, oh, yeah, you know, like we can go find like some random tailgate afterwards. You know, maybe, you know, a couple fun things happen. We end up staying the night in Champaign. And then it was just like, you know, that kick went through and there was the 5 minutes of just sitting there absolutely stunned. And then just, no, we're just going home. Like there's no shot that there's anything worth celebrating or you know, getting a beer in the hand for.
Yeah, we were looking at the clock, like John said, and it was getting close to midnight, and I was just thinking, man, if we win this game, I'm not really gonna care if I get home at 4 a.m it's fine by me. Sure enough, you know, one thing leads to another, you know, it looks like we're gonna win, and next thing you know, we're walking out of Memorial Stadium with our heads in our hands. But, you know, Mikey, did it feel any better watching on television than it did in person?
No. I thought the whole game, I truly thought that we were going to win it. I was like, okay, like defense is playing well. You know, every analyst out there said we were going to get beat by 30 and we're in the game. Now we're winning. We seem to have a lot of momentum. And then that 4th-and-1 call where we punted it and they got the ball, I just knew from there, in typical Illinois fashion, that we were going to end up losing that game. And to lose it in regulation just, you know, hurt that much more. Because I feel like I blinked and the game was over. You know, we were winning. Next thing I know, we're punting. And then, boom, game over. So it was definitely pretty devastating. I could not imagine being in the stands like you guys. I'm sure you could probably hear a pin drop when the kick went through. A little different than the atmosphere we had when James McCourt kicked that field goal through against Wisconsin. But, you know, overall, I, you know, thought we played better, especially on the defensive side of the ball. The offense, I mean, we'll get into that in a little bit, but they need a lot of work on that side of the ball.
Yeah, I think the average Illini fan was very hopeful about that game. But I don't think anyone was, you know, so optimistic, like, oh, yeah, we're going to go in, we're going to blow Maryland's doors off. I think there are a lot of things that you could point to as, you know, favorable, it being a Friday night, you know, starting at 9 o'clock, you know, the Maryland players' body times. Like, there were some, but at the same time, I don't think if we had gone out there and lost in a semi-convincing fashion, that would have been super unexpected. I would have been, you know, pretty disappointed still, but the way that happens, where you get, it's the Casey Washington fumble game. Like, no one's even going to remember that now. That's the frustrating thing, is like, we have this unreal stroke of luck play where you get some fumble on the side. Like, it doesn't even roll out of bounds. It goes right into the hands of a receiver who's got no one near him. And that doesn't even matter. And Mikey, like you were saying, like, I remember looking at the clock because after they punted that, and we can kind of, the 4th-and-1 is an interesting call because I knew Bielema was going to punt it. just kind of feeling like he's kind of got that old school college coachiness to him. And I kind of understood it. Now, granted, if it's my decision, I'm going for it. I've said this on the pod before. Unless you're in the shadow of your own goal line, if you go for it on every single fourth and one, it's not always going to work. It's not always going to lead to W's. But over the long run, if you keep doing that, it is eventually going to. It's a positive expected value play. And when you're on the opponent's side of the field, and also here's the other thing too, is the series before, you know, the chop block kind of bailed them out, but Maryland had scored a touchdown if it wasn't for a penalty. And not that you ever lose confidence in your defense and you say, oh, we're not going to go out there and get a stop. But I think that could help inform you in terms of, okay, these guys have kind of been turning it on recently. So, you know, if they come down and drive 80, 90 yards, wouldn't necessarily be surprised. So you put the pressure on their defense to get a stop and you just go for it on fourth and one. Now, granted, like I said, you know, Blake Hayes is your best weapon. So I kind of understand in the moment, but at the same time, it's just, it's disheartening that they couldn't go out there and get a yard and then just to have it shoved down our throats like that. And then calling a timeout after a sack. I was confused at that point. I was like, okay, I don't know if anyone knows what is going on at this point, because what are we doing here? Like, what's going on? And then just that whole offensive series was an absolute crap show. So didn't love it.
Yeah. The entirety of the game, John and I were sitting there and we're like, okay, 0-0, 3-0, 3-3. Like, Chase Crouch isn't getting his 50 burger this week, but yeah, we're right in this game. And then Illinois, you know, Josh McCray rips off that awesome run where he went like Marshawn Lynch beast mode and ran through four tackles. And I'm like, that Big Ten's got to be put on notice that they're going to have to tackle that dude for 3, maybe 4 years.
He's a nice little find for sure.
Yeah, he's a load to take down. And then Seth Coleman comes in, rips that ball out right after that. And we're like, wow, we have the ball in really good spot to maybe go up 2 scores here in the third quarter. Like, Illinois is looking like they might just pull away here. And all things seem to be going Illinois' way. And then in the most Illinois fashion possible, fourth quarter comes around and, you know, a couple questionable decisions. The turnover by Brandon Peters right after the fumble recovery on the very next play to what I thought was a pretty open Luke Ford and just kind of sailed it past him. And then, you know, a couple mental mistakes there and some mistakes late. Next thing you know, it's all bad news. And we're sitting there in silence as we watch that ball go through the upright.
Yeah. I want to touch on the fourth and one situation still, because I've saw a ton of people on Twitter, go for it, go for it, go for it. But John, you had mentioned the greatest asset on our team is Blake Hayes, right? If we go for it on fourth and one and get stuffed, then all the same people who were saying to go for it are now saying, why didn't you put it in Blake Hayes' hands?
Right.
You know, so it's one where, you know, I don't think you can go wrong with either decision, and the defense just needs to, they go down the field in like 6 plays, 2 minutes, not even. Like, it literally looked like they were playing like routes on or doing routes on air.
Yeah, it looked like those first series against Virginia. It was just whatever they want, they got.
Yeah, it was like Swiss cheese in the secondary. And so that's a tough call. But I think either way, you know, regardless of which one they went with, you know, had it turned out positive, say our defense forced them 3 and out, then Bielema looks like the smartest guy in the world, you know? So it's, I don't know. It bothers me when I see a lot of people who, you know, try to be coaches on the internet and ultimately, you know, Coach Bielema's in the position that he's in for a reason.
You're absolutely right on that, Mikey. And at the same time, it's still so hard for me to sit there and think, like, you're up 2 scores. You've been pretty aggressive in this, you know, in this game, and just to get super conservative and maybe show a glimpse of lovey ball for a split second there and opt to punt it. And I'm the biggest Blake Hayes supporter in the world. And honestly, by Blake Hayes' standards, he didn't have his best game ever, but you still, I understand, you know, where a coach is coming from when you say, hey, Blake Hayes pins him at the, you know, 3-yard line. The defense has been pretty good up to this point.
Right.
He didn't know his defense was going to, you know, flip the switch and decide to let everything up and then some. So at that point in time, you know, I could understand it, although I still think I would have been pro going for it on fourth and one on Maryland's side of the field.
Yeah, and that's the thing that is so unfortunate is that I kind of alluded to it. I mean, I guess you could maybe look to the drive before when they kind of got bailed out by a penalty and the defense was looking a little shaky. But at the same time, that's the thing that hurts the most with this is that the defense balled out the entire game. And, right. you know, then they just, the you know, the final, the first 90, 95% of that, that's going to win you a ball game every single time. And, you know, the offense obviously didn't help them out. Danny, like you were saying, there were a couple times there and, you know, maybe we can chalk it up to a little bit of rust and lack of in-game reps for Brandon Peters. But at the same time, there's a cut. And I talked about this on the preview pod. Like, he's got to just trust his receivers sometimes and let that ball rip. Like, yeah, maybe there are a couple times where you throw an interception here and there because guys don't care. But there was I know two plays to Luke Ford that he could have had where if he just throws the ball right as the guy's getting out of his break, he had one on that first sack of that last drive to Reggie Love. They had that flat to the up route on the sideline. They hit Chase Brown on it one time, but they had Reggie Love wide open. If he throws, see, and the thing is, this is the difference between college and pro quarterbacks is that, and I mean, obviously they're, you know, a greatly skilled quarterback if they're playing Power Five football, but being able to see that and throw before a guy is open is a skill that it requires some trust. And like I said, I know he hasn't gotten a whole lot of reps with these receivers, but Reggie Love is still running to this day. If Brandon Peters just throws that ball instead of, you know, trying to turtle and run or take, like, you can't take a sack there first and foremost, but just let the ball go. And it's so confusing to me that, like, you wouldn't just throw the ball there in that situation, especially the ones near the goal line, in the sense of having a big body like Luke Ford. Like, Danny, you mentioned Virginia, that one tight end who's 6'7" and has all the, like, Luke Ford is pretty comparable to that in terms of being able to just throw it in his general vicinity. I mean, you can't overthrow him like you did on the pick, because then, you know, he's not even getting a chance. But still, like I said, you just got to let it rip sometimes. You just got to throw the ball. And that is what is ultimately frustrating, is that the offense, you know, kept letting the defense down. And, mm-hmm. you know, they had a chance to pick themselves up, not even pick the defense up, because the defense had been picking them up the entire game. And then they just, you know, dribbled down their leg. And that was the most frustrating thing, is that you somehow, in regulation, give Maryland a chance to win the ball game. And, you know, taking three sacks like that and having Blake Hayes have to punt out of, Blake Hayes having to punt out of the back of his own end zone, you know, then of course he's going to be rushing it. And yeah, he's potentially the best punter in the entire college.
Right.
In the entirety of college. But at the same time, you know, that's a tall order to ask. And of course, it's going to put them in close to immediate field goal range.
Well, in the three sacks, too, if I recall, Illinois, after the first sack, decided they were going to take a timeout. And
yes!
I was like, okay, so now it's second.
What are we doing?
20 plus. We're taking a timeout. We're giving Maryland a pretty good chance to get the ball back somewhere around midfield. If Illinois can't convert on two plays from 20 plus yards, then he takes another sack, and then Blake Gerasotti makes a great catch, but you can't do that. So
don't catch the ball. You know you shouldn't be catching the ball. I know instinct takes over, and you maybe want to get your moment to shine, but just don't catch the ball, please.
You don't want Blake Gerasotti going Josh McCray mode and running dudes over down the field?
Yeah, I mean, then dudes are just going to get hurt, maybe.
So, yeah, then it's fourth and whatever it was, on 4th and 40, and we're punting from the back of our own end zone, and they're going to get the ball, I don't know, easily at midfield. For as great as Blake Hayes is, he can't punt a ball 90 yards. So he, you know, ended up punting it out of bounds somewhere around midfield, and then they have a minute to just get in field goal range is all they really needed to do. So those three sacks were pretty crucial, and the Illinois timeout to give Maryland as much clock as possible didn't really help the cause either. So all in all, not the drive you're going to put on the highlight reel if you're Brett Bielema on the Illinois offense.
Yeah, just devastating there. You know, I couldn't imagine being there like you guys. but just, I mean, what Brandon throwing to Gerasotti, like, what was he thinking? You know, like, and then just him panic. Catching it. It was just, I don't know, sitting there watching it, seeing a sixth-year quarterback do that, just didn't make sense to me at all.
Mikey, paint the picture of what was going on when you were watching those final, like, 3 minutes. Were you standing? Did you turn the game off because you thought Illinois had it won? What was going on?
No, so the whole third, fourth quarter when we took the lead, I was, like, standing up, cheering, like, wow, like we're actually going to win this thing. You know, I never thought we were going to lose. And then that last drive, you know, as you guys just both touched on, you know, I knew at that point, I'm like, this is not going to end well for us. And, you know, what was it, a 32-yard field goal to win it? And I still had hope at that point. I'm like, he's going to miss this. Then he kicked it. And I'm like, oh, shoot, like, we're done. We lost. It sucks being on the other side of it, that's for sure. But, you know, overall, just the one thing I'm going to take away is we need more out of our offense. I thought our defense did enough for us to win the game. Our offense just needs to do their part.
And not to go back and obsess on, you know, all the things that have already been obsessed over, but that timeout after second and 16, I think it was at that point, after the first sack and the final offensive drive, I think Bielema tried to, in his press conference, not excuse it away, but his rationale was, I told my team, we're going to go for the win here. I can appreciate that for sure. I love that mentality, but you got to be consistent. Once again, it all comes to the one thing that you can say about Lovie Smith is that he was consistent in pretty much, like, we could have scripted if that same scenario was he's punting there, but he's also running the ball and taking knees or something like that and right. playing for overtime or something like that. Like, that's the one thing. If you're not going to go for it on fourth and one, then you got to make sure that you're not taking three straight sacks and calling a timeout somewhere in there. Like, that just can't happen. That's not something that you do to win games at Illinois. You can get away with it possibly at Wisconsin when you got something built for you. I'm not saying this is the end of the Brett Bielema era or whatever. I mean, maybe the flowers he was getting in the preseason are kind of starting to fade. But still, it's just one of those where you're not going to be able to extrapolate too much from the season because it's not his guys, it's a new scheme, all that good jazz. But there are little decisions like that that tell me that he's either going to change something or in 3, 4, 5 years, we're going to be sitting back and saying, yeah, he really hasn't evolved as much as you would like a college coach to have evolved so that you're winning ball games in this day and age.
Yeah. And Mikey, I feel like I sound like a broken record here, but Illinois, you know, coming off a super disappointing loss and a couple other losses, you have some winnable games coming up here at Purdue and then Charlotte, right? So back-to-back chances to get back in the win column here. What are you doing? You know, if you're on the team or in the locker room, what are you telling the guys to get them refocused here, you know, going into another winnable game?
Yeah. You know, it's all eyes on Purdue. You know, it's cliche as it sounds, take it one day at a time, one game at a time, you know, so they know what a win does in terms of momentum. So it's all eyes on Purdue. Purdue's a good team now. They have David Bell, and we'll touch on this in our pregame show, but so I don't want to talk about it too much, but it's very winnable game. You know, so just stay positive and keep attacking it day by day. As Josh Whitman always says, just sharpen the axe, you know, spend 3 hours sharpening your axe. It takes 10 minutes to cut the tree down. So that's, you know, that's what they're doing. And that's what those leaders on the team are telling them to do. You know, Jake Hansen, Brandon Peters, ton of sixth-year guys who've been in the program, you know, been to a bowl game, not plural. So they know what it takes. You know, they know the mindset, and just seeing the Bielema's mindset, you know, just in his press conferences, it's definitely a different vibe around Champaign. You know, I felt like with Coach Smith, you know, we would lose three in a row and it's like, shoot, like, we don't know if we're going to win another one the rest of the year. But now, you know, even as a fan from the outside looking in, I do have hope because there's been flashes on both sides of the ball. So now all we need to do is just put it together. So if I was on the team, that would be my message. And I'm sure that's what Jake and those leaders on the team are, you know, spreading around the entire facility.
You know, there's many words that could still be said, but my parting message is, for a look of optimism, we still control our destiny. We could still go to Pasadena if we really wanted to. If the boys go out there and ball up, you know, it's not impossible. It's very unlikely, but you still got all the Big Ten West left remaining. That's honestly one of the things that is so disheartening as well. As you could point to, you know, UTSA and Virginia have looked very good in, you know, their other games. You could say, oh, you know, we're 2-0 in Big Ten play and, you know, played some pretty tough non-con opponents and you can get this thing kind of rolling. But, you know, if Mikey, like you were saying, you know, you just kind of got to be that, there's got to be a little bit more of a level-headedness and consistency that, you know, the fan might not quite appreciate, but they just got to come back in this, you know, this week taking care of business, going to work, making sure that they're getting ready for Purdue to go out there and you know, bounce back.
That's a good point, John. I think Illinois is trying to set the record here for most games lost while still controlling their destiny. Three losses and you still are
seems like
still
it.
In the driver's seat here to win the Big Ten West if you string some wins together.
Big Ten West goes through Champaign.
That's right. Mikey, you know, aside from Illinois football, word on the street is you made your return to football tonight.
I did. Yep. I had my first flag game. First time playing.
What were the Mikey specific stats of the day?
Wait, can I guess? Can I guess Mikey's specific stats of the night?
I'll tell you the final score. We lost 26-22.
26-22.
How big? Like what?
How big is the field? Is this a regulation college football field?
It's probably like 60 by 30.
60 yards.
60 yards by 30 wide.
Okay, so you can't like you that. Can't score a 100-yard touchdown.
It might be like 80-30.
How long are the quarters?
Two 20-minute halves.
Running clock?
Yes.
Okay.
Except under 2 minutes. Really
breaking this down for the folks.
I'm doing some math in my head here. All right, I'm going to say Mikey had – wait, how old was the team you were playing?
How old?
Yeah, how old were these guys? Are we talking 50-year-olds? Are we talking 18-year-olds?
No. Probably like 25, 26.
Okay. All right. Let me factor that in my calculation here.
Five for 75 with 2 touchdowns. It's my official guess.
I was going to go a little higher. I was going to go because everything's probably a pass play for the most part. So I was going to go like
that's true.
11 catches for like 152 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Wow. So I did have 2 touchdowns.
All right. My calculations aren't too far
off. We didn't know this. We knew about one of them. I will spoil that for listeners, but we didn't know about about the other one.
Yeah, so I had 2 touchdowns. Probably, John, you were probably right. I probably had like 8 catches. But Dan, you were probably closer on the yardage. So between the two of you, I think you were pretty close.
All right.
The first play, I did go 60 yards for a touchdown. I'm like, okay, I'm back. And then... they just started playing deep on me, and it was fun.
There might have been a rumor that you spiked the ball after that first touchdown. Is that true?
I did.
15 yards. Get him out of here.
I caught it, ran, spiked it, and this is incredible, but I actually spiked it at the 1-yard line, but the refs were too far behind me.
Oh, no.
And didn't notice.
Bonehead.
Yeah. So technically, I'm sure you guys have seen those videos where guys like throw the ball.
DeSean Jackson's the king of that.
Yep.
I always see those videos and I'm like, what are they doing? And that was me tonight in my recreational flag football league. But touchdown counted, no replay. So
did you think you were running like a 4.3 40? So you were going to cross the line and you were actually a little slower than that. So you weren't quite across the line when you spiked it?
No, I just didn't know where the end zone was. I figured I was in it. The field was not marked well. It was marked with cones, you know? Like, it didn't have pylons, and all the cones are the same.
Oh, no.
So it was like, it was tough. And it's dark out there. There's one light. You can barely see the ball. But
no shot were they picking that up then.
No, they were far back. But it was fun. Got our next game next Tuesday. Going to hopefully get the dub. I had to... you know, take some rust off these wheels. So now next week I'm coming in hot if anyone wants to come out and support.
All right. I love that. Any drops this week or were you all hands team this week?
All hands, baby. No tucks even, just hands and run.
Route running was in top gear too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was coming back.
No actual mental errors?
No. We don't even have set plays. It's just run a go ball every play. My conditioning, though, was definitely hurting. And I was playing safety, no picks. I wanted a pick so bad, but didn't do enough to get the job done. But
start
still
reading
had
those
fun.
Eyes.
Yeah. No, I will. The quarterback they had, though, was like Johnny Manziel. Because you can rush. There's linemen. But the linemen can go out for passes. It's like the weirdest rules. So the quarterback, we'd rush him, and he would just take off and run for like 20 yards every time.
Maybe they're going to have to put you up at like D end or something so that you can stop this QB.
Yeah, I think that might be the plan going forward. But no, it was fun. Next week, I'm hoping to report a W.
All right, we're all about the team here, right? We don't care about individual stats. All we care about is one game at a time, Mikey. That one win in the win column. That's all we want to see. I couldn't care if you had 3,000 yards in this game.
As long as we win.
All I care about is a W.
Yeah, I agree. We might have to get some fan interaction. Whoever can, we guess stats every week. If someone can, closest person to guess my stats, maybe we'll send them a T-shirt or something.
All right. You heard it here first. Field DM pass us. Shirt. DM us your prediction for Mikey's week 2 stats, and we'll give a free field pass T-shirt to the closest guess.
I love it.
All right. Well, that will take care of this disappointing Maryland recap, but we'll be back in a couple days here with the preview for Purdue, hoping we have some keys to success so we can report back to you for the second win of the season. But until then, we appreciate you sticking it out for these recap episodes. You can find us on social media, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, @TheFieldPass. Thanks for listening, and go Illini.